called us as a church to do what He has for all churches to do. Now, all churches are different. I've been in church all my life. Growing up, I had the privilege to be in churches in over 40 states and 5 different countries. That doesn't make me a church guru or a church expert, but I've seen a few things. I'm like farmers. We know a few things because we've seen a few things. And there's churches of all flavors and all personalities. Every church has a distinct flavor. Most of the time, the church is the way it is because of the people in it. If you see a church that leans a little to the kooky side, you probably got some kooky members in there at some point. That's not us. We're not weird at all. Amen? Two people said amen. The rest of you know how weird we are. That's okay. We're spiritual weird. We're good weird. Every church has its flavor. There are certain factors. Sometimes it's the region of the country. Some of the churches we would go in other regions of the country were more reserved, a little more refined, a little more polished. And then we'd be in some churches here in the South where they were snotting, spitting, sweating, running the aisles, shouting, swinging from the chandeliers if they had them, and wide open. I've been in some certain. Now, as a child, I have to admit the fleshly, carnal part of me enjoyed the exciting services a lot more because it was far more entertaining because you never knew what was going to happen. You never knew what was going to happen next. We were in a church in Greenville, South Carolina. I probably shouldn't tell this with the live stream, but that's okay. Nobody's watching, so nobody's going to see it anyway. There's a lot of people watching, so this may be my last Sunday, but that's okay. I was sitting there on the second row. My mom, my brother, and I were sitting there. My dad was on the other side on the front row. He was getting ready to go up and preach. The pastor was up giving the announcements, and this lady stood up right behind us and grabbed the pew in front of us. She said, "Ah!" I wanted to turn around and go, "Ah!" She scared the daylights. I've never seen anybody shout during the announcements before. That was fresh. That was new. Please don't start that. That's okay. You know, if the Spirit moves, you got to do what you got to do. But please, I had never heard anybody shout during the announcements. So everywhere you went, things were a little bit different. Every church, like every Christian, God's not a cookie cutter God. Every church is different. I remember reading some things a while back about how to tell if your church was a redneck church. We might need to do a checklist here, so y'all be ready for some of these. When they learn in Sunday school that Jesus fed the 5,000, the kids ask whether the two fish were bass or catfish and what bait was used to catch them. When the pastor says, "I'd like to ask Bubba to come take up the offering," 5 guys and 2 women stand up. How many of y'all been to this church before? Uh-huh. I know more than that, have y'all? Just 3 people raise their hand. There are at least 2 NASCAR drivers on your prayer list. A member requests to be buried in his 4-wheel drive truck because, quote, "it ain't never been in a hole it couldn't get out of." The choir is known as the OK Corral. Oh, I love this one. In a congregation of 500 members, there's only 7 last names. How many of y'all been to church? No, that's one thing that's the same in all churches, though. Every church, everywhere, and every time, it's the same purpose. We saw that last week. What is the purpose of the church? To bring glory to God. The means that we use, every church is going to have different ministries that God calls them to. There are things that God calls our church to do that He may not call other churches to do. I remember back some years ago, many churches were called to have a bus ministry, and many people were brought to Christ through the bus ministry. And other churches tried to replicate that, but because it wasn't what God had for them to do, it didn't work, and they couldn't understand why. Every church has to find what it is that God wants them to do, but it's all for the same purpose. It's for the glory of God. And our task is always the same. No matter what church it is, our task is the same. And that is the Great Commission. "Go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." That's our task. That's the work that God has called us to do. There are many good things that Christians can be involved in. There are many good political and ideological and social and civic things that Christians can be involved in. But the church's task is this. It is the Great Commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we think about that, as we think about the task that God gives us, we're going to look at some of those things that we do for the glory of God. But I want to preach to you this morning on part of that task is to edify the church. Because we are the church. This building's not the church, though this is the place where the church meets. We are the church. And so the church is to edify the church. That sounds like a little bit of a little twist, but you'll see in a moment in verse 16 that he says the body is going to be edifying itself, building itself up. So part of our task is to edify. In Ephesians, the church is described in at least three different ways. There's three particular images that God uses. One is the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a bride, that he might present it to himself not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing." That's the bride. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride, and Christ is the groom. Ephesians will also tell us that the church is a body, and Christ is the head. The church is a body, and it's like each member has importance. Member has a part to play. We'll see more about that in the weeks to come. But that's the image that he uses. So the church is a bride and Christ is the groom. The church is a body and Christ is the head. But there's also the image that he uses that the church is a building and Christ is the cornerstone. The word edify means to construct or to build. It's the idea of increasing and strengthening and building the church. We fulfill Christ's great commission by strengthening, building the church. Now, sometimes people will talk about building the church. Boy, they're really building a great church over there, and they mean they're growing in numbers. That can be a part of it. But the building that he's talking about here, the edification that he's talking about here, is something more significant than just expanding in numbers. It is growing into Christ's likeness. It's Christ, as we sang just a moment ago. I love that song. It's Christ being formed in me. In Ephesians, this body, this building rather, is being built up. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16. "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Whose work is it for the church to be edified, for the church to be built? I'm a participant in the work, but it's not my work. It is Christ's work. I don't build the church, though I edify and I'm a part of the construction team. Christ is the one that is building his church. Aren't you glad for that? There's a lot of negative things that are being said. And trust me, there's a lot of negative things that can be said about the church in our world today. There are people, there are churches that are way off target. There are churches that are more focused inwardly than they are outwardly. There's a whole lot of things we could talk about, but Christ is the one that will build his church. And he said what? "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. What a great promise. That means until he comes back to take us, when Christ returns, his church is going to go forward. God's work will be done, and it's Jesus who is doing the work. In Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn back there, but in verse 19 through the remaining part of that chapter, he says that we are a building, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were the first generation of the church, but Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So the church is being built, not just in one place, but through time. We're commanded to edify. Romans 14, 19, he says that we are to seek peace and edify. Romans 15, 12, each of us is to edify his neighbor. How many? Each of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, knowledge or self-satisfied knowledge, knowledge for the sake of knowledge, puffs up, but it is love that edifies. Love takes the knowledge that we have and uses it to build others up. 1 Corinthians 14, 12, Paul says that we are to do things that edify. All things are lawful. All things are lawful to me, he says, but not all things edify. There are some things that I can do because I have the liberty to do them, but I should not do them because they do not edify those around me. 1 Corinthians 14:26, the church gathers for edification. Do you know that's one of the reasons we're here today? We're here primarily for two reasons. We're here to exalt Christ and to edify each other. I wonder how well we're doing at those. I feel like we have done a wonderful job this morning of edifying, of exalting Christ. The music has been Christ exalting. Your worship has been Christ exalting. We're proclaiming the word. That's Christ exalting. But how are we doing at building each other up? Now, I want to pause and say that I'll give you a definition in a minute. Edifying and building each other up is more than just paying compliments. It's more than just saying an encouraging word. But how are we doing? He says, you're to gather for edification. 2 Corinthians 12:19, Paul says, we do all things for your edification. Ephesians 4:12, a verse we'll see in a moment, the leaders are given to the church for edification. Verse 16, I mentioned this, the body is to be edifying itself. Ephesians 4:29, our speech and our words are to edify. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11, again, he says to encourage and edify. Edification is not just encouragement. It involves in any activity that results in more Christ-likeness in another believer. It results in more Christ-likeness in another believer. Some people think they will hear a song and say, man, that was edifying, or that experience was edifying. Well, it may have made us feel good. Aren't you glad you can come to church and feel better for having come to church? How many of y'all feel better for having come to church? Okay. Getting a little concerned that answer was a little anemic. Some of y'all hadn't felt good yet. You'll get there. There are many times you walk in and, man, you got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and yet as you worship God and you hear the word and you encourage your fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ, that weight begins to lift and you feel what you didn't feel to start with. But I'm glad that my worship and my edification, it's not about feeling. It's not about feeling better. It's about growing into Christ's likeness. Here's my definition of edification based on Ephesians. Edification is the work of Christ. I will build my church. In and through His church, Christ is edifying us. He is building us up, strengthening us, changing us into the image of Christ. And He's doing it through His church. The church is to edify itself, to do three things: to establish it as His building, to expand it as His body, and one day to exalt it as His bride. What is Christ doing? He is at work in the church, and He wants to establish us. He wants us to be grounded. We'll see this verse in just a moment. He wants us to be expanding and sharing the gospel and sharing His glory and promoting His glory to the ends of the earth, to the nations of this earth. But He wants us to be strengthening one another and sanctifying one another, so that we will one day be exalted as His bride. Revelation chapter 19 speaks about the bride. The wedding of the groom has come. The wedding of Christ has come. And the church is there in their robes of white, which is the righteousness of saints. That's what He's doing. That's what He's building us into. See, God didn't save you just to come and sit on a pew. Jesus, no, you're not sitting on pews anyway. You're sitting in chairs. God didn't save you to sit in a chair. Though we sit in chairs when we worship, Christ didn't go to the cross and suffer all that He suffered for us just to be good religious people. He went to the cross to redeem our soul, but to transform our entire being into Christ's likeness. And that's the task of the church. We are on mission. We are in partnership. We are on the team. We are part of His construction crew to build His church. We do that by edifying one another. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 11. I'm going to come back and catch some of these earlier verses, but just notice this text this morning. And He, God, Jesus, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the measure of completeness? What is the measure of success in the church being built, in believers, in the church, us being built? The measure of success is how much we are in the stature, the fullness of Christ. Why does He want us to be mature? Why does he want us to be strong, to be complete? That we from now on, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. You see these words of completion? He wants us to grow up, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. This is speaking of the body growing up. We want the body to grow so that it matches the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which how many? Every joint supplies. Every member of the church supplies a part of this, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase. The body is expanding and growing unto the edifying of itself in love. We are expected to be a part of God's edification, his building of his church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I want you to be a part of the building of the church. So really, three questions that I'll revisit in just a moment are, number one, am I part of the church? I don't mean have you come down and shaken the hand and filled out a card or gotten baptized. I mean, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You are not part of the church until you are baptized into Christ at salvation. As the old country preacher says, you can be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number and still not be saved. I remember hearing a lady one time that was going, she wanted to come to a church and be baptized, and they asked her what was her motivation. Had she trusted Christ? She said, no, I'm just trying to be a member of every church in our community. And she was going from church to church, trying to join all the churches. That's a little bit of confusion, but it's not any more confused than the person who is a member, perhaps, of Central Baptist Church who thinks that being a member, or who thinks walking through those doors is somehow going to get you into heaven. Let me tell you, you can go and sit in your garage and drink a quart of oil, but it doesn't make you a car. And you can come sit in this church and you can sing the songs and you can put money in the offering, and all of those are good things, but it doesn't make you a Christian. You're not a part of the church until you have trusted Christ as your Savior. If you are a part of the church, and here's my question, are you being edified? Are you participating in the things that we do to try to help you grow in Christ? The things that our church does, our ministries, the things we engage in, a part of the task, yes, there are things that we do to share the gospel. We want to get the gospel to every person we possibly can. We'll see that more next week. That's a part of the Great Commission. But we also want to help you grow in Christ. Are you participating in that growth process? You can't do it if you're not here. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? But Sunday school, Pastor James in our education department, the Sunday school classes and the small groups, it's not just so they can get together and have a good time. I love the fellowship with my Sunday school class. We have a great time. We have a wonderful gathering, and what a great, and we study the Word, but if I come out of that class and I'm not changed more into the image of Christ, if I've not taken the Word into my heart to be transformed by it, if I walk out with just more knowledge of who that minor prophet was, and I've just gotten to know somebody in the church a little bit better, good things those are, but that's not the purpose. It is for you to be edified, to be built up, to be made into the image of Christ. Pastor Chuck and Pastor Jeremy working with our students, with our children, what is the purpose? Just to have glorified babysitting taking place? No, they are trying to teach them the gospel and teach them to be built up in Christ. They are trying to establish them as Christ followers. And Pastor Darren and the music, what is the point of the music? Music is part of our edification. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Before he ever says we're making melody in our heart to the Lord, he says you're singing to one another. Are you participating in the edification of the church? Are you being a part of what is growing? You can't help others if you're not growing yourself. You can't edify others. You can't obey the command of Christ to edify others if you're not being edified, if you're not being built up and strengthened yourself. That's why it's so important to be a part of the church. And I don't mean just have your name on the roll. I'm talking about being engaged in the work of what the church is doing. Why? Because it helps you to grow. It helps you to be established so that when those winds of doctrine that he talks about in verse 13 come blowing and verse 14, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, craftiness and deception. We're not pulled around by that. I don't have the time this morning, but I shudder when I hear some of the things that people talk about as if it's gospel truth, and it's so contrary to Scripture. Someone sent me something this week, and they said, this seems a little suspicious. As the kids would say these days, it's a little sus. So sorry, guys. I apologize. I listened for a minute and a half, and I heard three incorrect things from Scripture, that this person was taking a whole practice of their Christian faith, and they were pulling it from something in Scripture that's not even in Scripture. They're being blown about by deception and craftiness. Why? Because they're not rooted in the Word. They're not well-grounded. They're not maturing. They're not growing in their faith. I'm not saying that there's not possibility of that happening to all of us, but that's why we've got to constantly be edified. And then what are you doing to edify others? What do we do to edify others? Well, there's several things the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures tell us that we, through our work, through our labor, we edify. We not only edify others, but we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up in the faith. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How does that work? You see, I used to have this idea that you had to grow and grow and grow, and eventually you got qualified to do something. Now, granted, there are some roles, there are some tasks that you have to have been saved, and you have to mature, and you have to grow. Paul said to Timothy about ordination of pastors, don't lay hands on someone suddenly. Don't ordain a novice. So there are some positions and roles and tasks that require some maturity and some growth. But there are tasks that the only requirement is you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And it's not you grow until you can serve. It's you grow, you serve, and as you are serving, it's like an accelerant to your growth. It helps you grow faster. And as you're growing, you become qualified to do more. And you serve and your service grows and you grow. So part of edification is our work for the Lord. And as we work for the Lord, we help others to grow in Christ. You that teach Sunday school classes, you that are involved in small groups, you that are doing discipleship work. And sometimes it's one-on-one. Sometimes it's with a few. Sometimes it's with many. But you are doing the work of helping edify, but you don't have to teach a class. You don't have to stand in a pulpit and preach. There are other tasks that can be done. Our witness models and encourages others. Our words are to be edifying. The things that we say, he goes further down here to say in verse 15, we should speak the truth in love that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have the great opportunity. Let me just take a moment to say this. We have the great opportunity to edify believers that are not even close to us. We have the privilege through technology to edify and build up and strengthen those who are serving and worshiping on the far side of the world. I was sitting in a gathering of believers recently, and there were people who were literally on the opposite side of the planet from each other. One was a missionary in Spain, one was a missionary in New Guinea, and one was a pastor in New Jersey. Talk about your diverse crowds. And I thought to myself as I sat there, I said, we're able to edify each other because through our words. Look, you want to do something edifying? Go home from church this Sunday. Text or email one of our missionaries. Say, I'm thankful for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm praying for you. You see, we have the power, we have the opportunity to edify. Look around the church and see someone who looks discouraged. I'm not talking about just being encouraging. I'm not just talking about compliments. I'm not just talking about a pat on the back. I'm talking about something that involves more Christ-likeness in their life and encourages that. Our worship, our music is to edify one another. You see, what we do here matters elsewhere. It matters there. It means that a strong church here, a church that is edified and built up here, can more effectively strengthen the church there. You want to talk about local hands and global fingerprints? One of the best things you can do is help our church to be strong. Can I point out to you three things in this passage very quickly of how this is God's blueprint? I want you to imagine a building. There's really usually three stages. I know there's a lot of work in a building, but it starts with the foundation, and then there's the framework of the church, of the building, and then there's the finishing task. That's when they come in. I worked for a contractor for a short time, a semester in college, and he found out very quickly, I was not talented for the finishing crew. You had to have a specific good skill. I was doing damage to the trim at the bottom, and so I very quickly got put back on the framing crew, where if your hammer was out of aim, it didn't do a whole lot of damage. But I want you to see, first of all, in this passage, I want you to see the foundation. The church is founded on unity. The church is founded on unity. We cannot grow if there's division. Look what he says in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the who? Spirit in the bond of peace. Whose unity is it? How is there unity within the church? There are many churches where there is not unity. There are many churches where there's division. And you show me a church where there's division, and I'll show you a church that is not healthy, mature spiritually. Why is this the case? Look what he says. Endeavoring to keep, and it's our work, it's the Spirit's unity, but we have to endeavor. Why is that? Because there's people in the church. I'm going to say that again. The reason that there's problems in the church is because there's people in the church. You get two. I'm going to paraphrase Jesus slightly. I don't usually do that. But where two or three are gathered in my name, there is the possibility for a church split. I'm not wrong, am I? You want to get two different opinions, get two people together. Matter of fact, get one person on a different day and you might get two different opinions. We have to endeavor. We have to work at it. But then he goes on to say there's one body. What is the basis of our unity? The basis of our unity is not to make our worship experience more enjoyable. I will say, if you've ever been in a church where there was conflict, if you've ever been in a church where there was division and there was, as my parents would say, yin-yang. My mom would say, y'all, you boys are yin-yang at each other. I don't even know what that means. It's South Georgia for something, but I'd have never asked the interpretation. You show a church where there's, if you've ever been in that kind of church, you know what a blessing it is to be in a church where it doesn't take place. Some of you have been in, unfortunately, churches. I've been in a church where there was conflict, and there was, every time I came to church, I was waiting for someone to have an issue or say something, and it wasn't with me, it was with somebody else. And there was constant bickering among the church. So it's a blessing to be a part of a church body where that doesn't take place, but our primary goal is not so we can have an enjoyable worship experience. It is to manifest the glory of God through the person of the Trinity, the triune God who is one. Do you see it in these verses? Look in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. There's one Spirit, there's one Son, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. You have the Spirit, you have the Son, and you have the Father. Three distinct persons, yet one. And I'm not going to try to explain all that unless I lapse over into heresy. It's very easy to do when you're talking about the Trinity. But our purpose in unity is above all to bring glory to God. Now, when we bring glory to God, is it going to be refreshing for us to come to a place of worship where there's not fighting and knockdown dragouts happening in the church? Metaphorically and phorically, I don't know what I've seen both take place. That's our purpose. So we're founded in unity. We are one body, but we are framed with diversity. Look at verse 7. Unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're all different. Just in case y'all haven't figured that out yet, look around if you have to. You'll discover we're all different. Aren't you glad God made the church diverse? It'd be kind of boring if everybody was like me. Aren't you glad the church, aren't you glad you're all not like me? Some of y'all said amen. Y'all hadn't said amen in 5 years that I've been here. I got one really good loud amen in the 8 o'clock service. I'm glad I'm not like you, too. We're diverse. God's not a cookie cutter God. He doesn't make us all the same. Now, we're all saved the same way. We all saved by faith in Christ, but all of us came to Christ in different ways. We're all sanctified into the image of Christ, but God works at us in different rates, in different ways, in different paces, in different times, in different manners. We're all to be for the glory of God, but we're diverse. And He gave to every one of us. How many is every? All of us. That's almost an IQ question, isn't it? How many is every? It's all of us. So how many believers in the church have been given a gift to use for the edifying of the church? All. In fact, he's going to list several of these down in verses 11 and 12. This is not a complete list. There's at least two other lists in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Why are these gifts given? For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Gifts are given for edification. We are to use them. So God has given you a spiritual gift. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. But God has given all of us something to do, to use, to accomplish the command to edify one another, to build each other up. So I go back to my original question. Who are you edifying? Are you doing what you can to edify others? We're formed, we're founded in unity, we're framed in diversity, but we are finished, formed for maturity. And what is that maturity? It's that stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may, in verse 15, grow up into Him in all things, from whom, from Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. We're not just a loose gathering of nuts. We are fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. You are a part of the body. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a part of the body, and you have something to contribute to the edification of the body. You say, Pastor, I just don't know. I don't know what all I can do. Are you a builder, or are you a wrecker? Are you on the demolition crew? Anybody can go in and tear down. It takes a lot more time and effort to build up. I think about so many people in my life that have had a part in God's work of edifying and building me to where I am today. I have a long way to go. Remember the old children's song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. God's at work in me. And I'm thankful for the people who simply just did what they were doing. They never were known, but they were faithful. And that's why I want to say to you today, you may feel like what you have to offer is small, but you can be a part of the building crew. You can be a part of God building this church, and not just this church, but His church. I want to show you a couple of pictures this past week. Do we have those? There we go. This past week, we were at my grandmother's funeral service. We were in the cemetery where my grandfather's buried. She was buried beside him. The little church there, do we have the other picture? Not a big church. Probably if you could probably take that auditorium and put it in the foyer out there. And I thought about the people, the faithful Christians through the years. That auditorium, if you packed it as tight as you could, might seat 100 people. And it's never seen near that many. But for over 100 years, Christians have faithfully worked in that church to edify one another, to strengthen one another. I remember times as a child, the times that I got to be there, and we would go in that little auditorium. You saw how small it was. And at 10 o'clock, they had Sunday school. There were times where there was only two or three in a class. There might be one children's class. Before they built the part on the back, they've got a little kitchen area and a couple of bathrooms. They had bathrooms that were literally out back. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. In the front of that church, there's on one side, there's one little tiny Sunday school space. And I stuck my head in there because I remember that little Sunday school room. And in that Sunday school room, there were still some toys, and it was a kid's class. And there's still some adult who every Sunday is working to edify and build up some children. I remember my grandmother had a part in that. She was driving through the community one day, and she saw some migrant children that were there, and she stopped, and she talked to their parents, and she started taking them to church. And that church became a multi-ethnic church overnight. At one time, it was doing well. I don't know where it is today. The pastor of that church drives 168 miles one way every Sunday to preach at that church because there's nobody else that'll come and pastor a little tiny church way out in the backwoods of Georgia. I'm talking about people that maybe don't feel like they amount to much or what they're doing matters. I want you to know that it doesn't matter the size of the task. It's the faithfulness of the one who is willing to work to edify, to build up, to teach a class, to sing. I remember my great uncle, I saw his youngest daughter this week. He would sing and bless his heart. I don't mean this to be ugly. He was always a phrase behind everybody else. And every time we would sing the doxology, we would say, amen. And as we were saying men, he was saying, ah. And we would sort of smile about it. And he was too old to teach a Sunday school class. He got where he couldn't teach. He was faithful. He was there every service that he could be there. And he was edifying by his example. He was edifying by his worship. He was edifying by his love for God. That's what every one of us, God has given to every one of us, an ability, a place in the body for its edification so that the body is the edifying of itself into the likeness of Christ. I don't know about you, but when it comes to the church, I want to be a builder. I want to be one that edifies. I want to be one that brings out Christ's likeness in those around me. Father, I pray in this moment that you will put in our hearts a desire to say right now, God, I don't know what I can do. I don't know how it will matter. I don't know what you've got for me. I don't even know what my spiritual gift might be. But I want to be a builder. I want to partner with you.